topic, the first topic today is Nishuk Bonov, kissing your children. Okay, he's not discussing kissing children in the Beis HaKnesses. He's discussing in general, should a person kiss his children? Shocking things he says over there. Like we learn many times, don't get too carried away with the things that we read over here. Some of the things over here are a little bit off the charts, a little bit different to Hashkafa, but they're still very interesting. The Sugin, Kishenemru, Devarim Lufnei Rabbi Yosi, Korolov, Amikra, Zeh, Sifasayim Yishak. It's a very popular expression, Chasidish Asfar, when you tell someone a good vart, when you tell someone a good idea, so may his lips be kissed. Sifasam Yishak, for the lips that gave forth such brilliant words, such beautiful words of Chochmah, those lips deserve to be kissed. If I'm not mistaken, in ancient times it was very common to kiss on the lips. Okay, this thing today, it's taboo, you kiss on the lips, right? Who would do that today? But kissing was something that was done primarily on the lips. So here it's Sifasayim Yishak. Basically, it means a kiss on the lips. If a person, the Talmud Chacham, says something brilliant, something in the Dvar Chachma, those lips deserve to be kissed. So, you kiss with the lips. And what deserves to be kissed? The lips. So, you'll kiss, one man will kiss another man on the lips. Right? So that, don't try that at home today. Don't try that today. It's not going to work today. But this is what it says in the Gemara. Sifasam Yishak. Meshiv Dvarim Nuchayna, a person who responds with words that are correct. Uvarashi Kosav Sifasayim Yishak Royuhu Linashek. The lips are deserving of being kissed. He writes about a person, Sefer HaChassidim, the Chassid, that only kissed his children when he was in a state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. He didn't just... that's another story. On the lips, one on the lips, right? That's what he just said. No, it doesn't say that. He would not show his children signs of affection only when it was a simcha. The liboy sameach ba'avas hakadosh baruch hu
yimenachshem.
Okay, whatever it is, it is. Okay, it's anyway not no geos. Okay, it's not a geos. We're not on such a madrega where you're only going to kiss your children when it's Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And today, no one's kissing their children on their lips. Okay, if you don't want to stay out of jail, no one's going to kiss their children on their lips.
Why?
What?
Why not?
You don't do this today. What today? Parent will kiss the child on their lips?
First of all, anyone who kisses a little baby will always kiss them.
They do? I don't think so.
I don't. The reason you don't do this, baby, you don't want to get germs.
You may end up in jail.
Today we live in a different society. Today we live in a different society. Okay, let's go further. Let's not get bogged down by this. Okay, let's go further. So far, we've learned two major leak chidushim. According to the Gemara, Sifasayim Yishak, Rashi's incredible chidush. The lips deserve to be kissed. And how do you kiss? You kiss with the lips. So it means a kiss from the lips to the lips. To who? To Talmidei. Right, Talmidei Chachamim. Now we go second paragraph. The Sefer HaChassidim discuss another topic. That a parent, he knows of a parent that only kissed his children when the parent was involved in a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The parent made a Siyum Masechta, the parent made it was a Chasra, a Bar Mitzvah, any type of Sudas Mitzvah, and the parent was Mole Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that's when he showed affection to his children by kissing them. But Stam, the Yankees won the baseball, they won the game, they won the World Series, it's not a reason to kiss your children, it's not a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, period. Next, Chiddush. Uviyisoid v'sharish v'avoyder kosa b'nei ahuvai me'ir ani, my children, me'ir ani alatzmi. He's speaking over here to his children. Uviyisoid, obviously a very holy person, he's speaking to his children. I testify by myself, af shohi li bonim rabim, I was zochet to have many children, ach lo zochisi l'galam kulam be'avodosin rabim. I did not have merit to raise them. Loi no shakti echad mehem me'olam. He says something shocking. I never kissed them. I never took them in my arms, never carried them in my arms. Okay, this is obviously not a recipe for disaster in today's parenting books. One of the things that it says in Perkei Avos is not to engage in sichas yilodim, to play with children. It's a waste of time. They'll never remember it, and you will just waste your time away. And I told you, everything we're learning over here is just, you know, just for, I don't want to say entertainment, but it's just, obviously, it's not very practical for us. Ki ein l'cha siba, let's go weiter. He's dealing over here with people on a very, very exalted level of spirituality. Every single moment is calculated. By playing with children, you are wasting time from study of Torah. Ki ein l'cha siba l'bitul Torah be'avadaseinu haram yosem b'sichas yeladim. The greatest of a bitul Torah is playing with children. B'divrei shtus, v'chochmos kisilus, and foolish forms of wisdom. V'chol rega over adam ze al mitzvah saseh shel v'dibar tobo. You shall speak in Divrei Torah, v'loy b'dvarim v'teilim. Gam aloisa seik mu b'gemara kadosha, and aloisa seik that's mentioned in the Gemara. Now, obviously, many gedolim, even some of the biggest gedolim Yisrael, will tell you that obviously this is a formula for disaster. Many children, when they grow up, what do they remember about their parents? They remember that they bought them an ice cream cone. They remember they took them to the baseball game. They don't remember the learning, all the chidushim, all the Divrei Torah, the Shabbos table. They remember the zmiros. They remember the good times. They remember the sicha b'teila. That's what you remember. Forget about it. Forget about even your parents, rebbeim, your teachers. What do you remember? I think back in my rebbeim. Do I remember the Torah they taught them? Very little. But I remember my relationship with them. I remember if they were nice people, they were kind, they spoke softly to you.
That's how you then grow up and
okay, so obviously, this is something. Be'avonoseinu harabim, due to our great sins, b'nei amenu, rabim b'nei amenu, many of our people, gam b'loim de'atorah, einam nisodim klal misichas hayolodim, shehizhiru al ze raboseinu zichronim levracha b'mishna de Rabbi Soita ben in Mehirkinis Oimer, Versafikus Oimer. Shena shall shachris, sleeping late in the morning. Yain shall saharayim, drinking in the afternoon. Vesichas hayaladim, maitziin es adam min haylam. Perish b'med Shmuel. Shakavon l'fi she'adam, who mechuyiv l'chanech hayaladim b'mitzvah l'hadricha b'derech Hashem. Ki chayin ksiv, it says, chanech lanar al pi darkoi. Uli hasiroi misicha b'teila. And to prevent him from nonsense. Asher heim hayaladim, asher heim hayaladim mis... The worst thing that children do is they waste their time with nonsense. A parent will be held accountable for not beating up his children. Take out a makel and a ritzua, he will be held accountable, he will go to jail if he does not beat up his children. Times have obviously changed quite a bit.
Those little things are part of growth development.
What?
Children playing in all these little things that you're wasting time is part of their growth development.
Yeah, of course. Especially today's day and age. Today, you're saying going back 500 years ago may have been a little bit different. The Hare. Leperushoi nena sha'av umoitzir min ha'olam al shelo yiser es yiladov al sicha b'teilo. A parent will be held accountable for not teaching his children not to waste time. V'oy v'avoy al she'inenu ro'ois, our own eyes see, she'ra'ad bi'atzvei mechanech esbanu b'sicha b'teilo. Just the opposite. Parents take the lead. They teach their children how to waste their time. The parents buy for their children toys. They buy from them baseball cards. They buy for them...
A Rebbe in the 4th, 5th grade starts off the shiur by saying the Yankees won yesterday might have a chinuch, a better influence than if he doesn't...
I know that. We gave that disclaimer already a few times. I told you, that disclaimer is shoot, the verb to shoot him. He just, over here, just look at the extreme. You hear such a thing? Children, they waste 2-3 hours a day. That's it. 2-3 hours a day. Ki hashehiyos mitstarfos, because all of these small delays add up. In the einenu ra'os, our eyes see shehurak ma'isa hayetzer be'avoinoseinu harabim. Ki yesh la'adam tainug mizeyos mikol tanugim. The most pleasant thing is to waste time. But that according to the pleasure, the greater the punishment. Okay, fine, next. This is the Spitz, the Balei Musa. Okay, the Kel, this is the real heavy duty Musar. He never in his life kissed his children. Kevin, look what he writes here. Shemikat
Tan. Kel was the epitome of cult of Litvakas.
What?
Kel was the epitome of cult of Litvakas.
Kevin, since Shemikat Nusam, Einam Avinim Klal Vloma Lenashik, an infant doesn't know that even kissing him, doesn't understand what's going on. V'chasharbo l'chlal havana havana, hare teshuka haneshika miteva hatava. It's not healthy. It's taiva. It's not for a higher purpose. It's love. Love. The only love a person should have is for Hashem.
Mother also.
The whole thing is totally off the charts. So you can't ask kashas here. You can't ask questions over here. The tzarich l'chapois es hayetzer. You have to control your yetzer hara.
Why is he only telling the half? The other half,
what?
The kids, when they
grow up
normal, what happened to the kids?
Like I said, this is off the charts. Next, the sefer beis yecheskel kosav shekasher yeshach b'tibul yiladim ha'av chayv lehafsik b'limud v'lazar. When the father needs to deal with his children, he has to stop and help them. V'chich kemi ha'maisa ha'mu b'yal kashmoni. Maise b'rebi Yeshua ben karach ha'shoyim ha'im margiya al yodai. V'al raglov v'gomei v'nosim v'soch piv. So he had something on his who nimshach ha'chabino v'omar le'mistaklim mikan sh'odim roi bonim hu ki'ilu mishtateh. I don't know what this means. V'evi ha'chavetz chayim He writes something that only amongst Jews is there this type of disease where they don't want to eat. I don't know what this is. Some kind of generic disease that only applies to Jews. The siyam hachavetz chaim zatzal lechen yesh choyva gam al bnei Torah l'shtadel al bnei mshayoichu. All right, he's talked about over here. Whatever. All right, it just tells me to think.
Who decides to put this into the
Rabbi Laufer.
Wow, this guy's
not Laufer, he's not nuts. Believe me, he's a brilliant. What he's accomplished, Laufer, what he has accomplished is unprecedented. Unprecedented.
The other side.
In a thousand years. Now they're printing a Shulchan Aruch. You know,
it's coming out now.
They're starting to put out Shulchan Aruch. What they have accomplished, Oz Vahadar, is off the charts. He takes responsibility for everything that appears in his volumes. So this is just, this is a Hasidisha Yingalite. I think they're sitting in Square Town.
Yeah, so they have our lock.
They take the computer, they type in Oitzra Chachma. There's no one today.
Kissing the mother's hand right after
Friday night.
Okay, let's go. Okay, Larry, let's go further. Let's go to the next topic. Let's go. Next. Nemonis Arkois Lahatir Aguna. Do we believe a secular court to be matir and aguna? We know the Gemara says to matir and aguna you need at least one witness that says testify, I witnessed the person die. Let's say we do not have a witness, we have a secular court. A woman is an aguna. Do we trust a secular court to tell us that the husband has died? We have a general rule that we do not trust secular court. Why? They're liars. They lie in order to cast fear.
Terror.
Therefore, you cannot believe anything that they say.
He came from Egypt.
So this is what it says in the Rambam. The question is, how does the Rambam's psak halacha that a court is not believed to tell us that a person is no longer living? How does that apply bizman hazeh? Baram. When there is a document, it's not just that the judge tells you that so and so is no longer among the living. There are actual documents in their records that indicate this person is no longer living. What's the difference?
No, a death
certificate. Yeah, or let's say they have records. Let's say the CIA. There was a person that the records. They have documents, internal documents that indicate the person is no longer living. If they went to the degree where they actually put it down in writing, if they have it on record that the person is no longer living, we have a right to assume in this case they did it for their own purpose. They're not doing it to scare us. The whole reason why the Rambam says we do not trust what a secular court says is because they want to make us afraid. They tell us so and so is dead, and we're terrified. So we behave differently. So that's because they're doing it for a purpose. But if they're not telling us that a person died because they want to scare us, it's just that they have for internal purposes, they have records that so and so died. Maybe if we uncover these documents, we can rely upon them in order to be Matir Naguna. This is the issue. It's not likely that they're writing down something for a lie. It's true. Maybe not. They have an agenda. They have a false agenda. Maybe they know they were going to see the records and they want to scare us. This is not like we mentioned above, where you hear from the judge that someone died. When do we say that they're liars? Like we said before, also be our coast, but a legal document. This is ready. The Tan Beliol, it would say to Liol Rabba, ki yachod nidon vaday leavidi lishkurei. Adra b'chol amin. Here we say the law mari nafsha. They don't want to ruin their reputation. Ki daminan b'gmar b'hendi b'tama hechsha shel israelin be our kosem. We trust documents that come up in court. So here it's beferish in the say to Liol Rabba. He differentiates between a statement from the government and an official document. If the government makes a statement, they're not to be believed. They have an agenda. They're saying things in order to influence the public. But if we uncover documents, internal documents, we have a right to assume those documents are correct. And at kleikach we're saying you can matter naguna. The chain cost of haramatz doha. The Arkos, this that we have a tradition, the Arkos, Einam Ne'monim, Hainu Dafko Kesh'amub Kein B'Messiach L'Fitumo D'Alma. That's only when they just make a statement. Avol, because of Kein B'Sfereyem, but when it's written in their documents, Ne'monim Afilu Kesh'e Ne'erag, B'Mishpatim, B'Mishpatam, even when a person is killed through them, D'Mash'amub B'Gmor D'Shama Mikum Nat Risin, Ploini Ne'erag, Einam Ne'mon, this that it says in the book that if you heard from the governor or from the officer that so and so was killed, he's not Neman. Mari ba'amru kain shloy b'moshav mishpatam, not in the court. Ella derech sibor shemuos, only when they just say to you lefis tumay. The oz ein lachem koyach arkos. Avol kishakos b'svareim shaploni nerag b'mishpatam Neman mitzad arkos. Delay mari nafshayu deha chazaka alima tuva. It's a very strong chazaka. Vafil lo hitzi moment, even to motzi moment. Okay, so same exact thing. The Ramatz, he diddles what it says in the Seder Eliyahu Rabba. Omnam, Yosef is a cost of a divrei Avram. Legabe Adam shenitfas lidan bebeis mishpat hagavoa in the Supreme Court. Vyotso dinay lehareg v'ha'ya noichach sham Yehudi v'sham es hapsak adin v'achach nesparsem al yodam beitun in a paper in a newspaper shapsak din niskayim u'kasa besoich advarim she'inyan avidi lechzuke shekrayu lo'shayich. This that we have a rule that they're liars. In this instance, it's not true here. Hashta b'shultoin misudor in an organized in a government that has a authority. The einam tshichem lehis paros. And we don't have to assume that it did not happen. So in other words, what was this?
You don't need to recognize.
investigation. Lehisparos, make an investigation. No, I think he needs to make an investigation. Say to make an investigation. The chen yesh lechalik bein bein kum to kum nit rison shebein shebiyimehem ubein ho atinom in the newspapers the orcheim shel yemenu our days with shem chacham echad kasev shev shel lechalik bein amru al balpeh ubein kasev b'efen rishmi the arkos shel zmanenu. Same exact idea. Okay, so he's saying the same exact idea that over here, that if you go in the mice of the yeshahai that he presents to the person was in court and he heard the judge say, he heard the judge decide chayim. Of Misa, he heard the verdict, but the visitor or the person in the audience did not actually see the person put to death. A couple of weeks later, we read in the newspaper, then so and so was executed. Is that enough? Can we say that since we have over here a witness who heard the verdict, and we combine that with what we saw in the newspaper, so he's basically saying yes.
So since today, don't they have English law today that a person's missing? Drowned at sea, but they never found a body. And after so many years, they go to court.
They'll never say that he's deceased. They'll just say he was never found. He's missing. They actually write that he's dead.
The court, after 7 years, will give you a notice saying that officially he's dead.
Officially he's dead, but not that we know that he's dead. That legally he's dead.
You can collect the social security or whatever.
Legally, we assume he's dead, but not that we know for a fact that he's dead.
But we accept that. That's coming out from the court system.
It's not for a good enough.
No, I mean, this court system says that he's dead.
Okay, I don't know exactly, but he's saying, in this instance, he's saying over here, we have a general in the Gemara. The Gemara here on this top presents a yesod that we do not trust the government. If the government makes a statement that so-and-so has been executed, you do not believe them. He points out that Bizman Hazeh, we do believe them. Benogea, when it comes to Benogea and Aguna, today the court system is different. It's not like it was in ancient times, and anything which is an official document, the case of the Gemara is going where they're just speaking with Yitumo to scare people, but if it's uncovered in an official document, we believe what they say. One more paragraph.
Based on that, what we just said, the person is missing,
right? Yes.
Never found. The court issues an official ruling.
You have to see what the court issues. I do not know what the court issues. It's not logical. The courts can issue a statement that so-and-so is dead. It's more logical they can say so-and-so's body was never found, and therefore legally therefore you have a right to collect social security, whatever, insurance.
The court comes out tomorrow and they say, we found a piece of DNA that matches, so we're saying he died in 9/11. Lalachak, I don't think you would accept it.
It is.
Why? No, only if you had other evidence that said he was in the building. But how do you know that, you know, just a piece of DNA from a billionaire?
Let's go further.
This can tell you you're dead, but you're still far attached
to it. Peter Eisenberg had evidence that he was on the phone.
He was calling his wife. Wasn't he calling his wife and said, take care of the kids?
He was not the only one. There were many. A couple. Okay, however, he quotes here, not everyone is in agreement with this leaning approach. Even Bizman Hazeh, there are those that hold that just because in a court document it says that so and so is dead, we don't believe you. Base of Frank Kasa Bedidon Shal Adam Shalak Mulchama. The Lokhach Agunok Sav Hetik Mipinkas at Savosh, Shenes, Mimokim Rechim Base Cholim. Okay, so this can be very, very real today. You have a Jewish soldier. Okay, he goes out to war. He goes to Afghanistan. He goes to Iraq. He goes to fight in Syria. And then Rahman al-Litzan, they come to the wife, the Almar, and they say that your husband died in war. He died. And we can't retrieve the body. The body was taken by the enemy, and we're working on it. But it doesn't look like we're going to be able to retrieve the body. Or maybe the husband died in an airplane crash, and there is no body. So this is, and the government's records, deceased. He was killed in battle. Is this wife allowed to remarry? So this is the real Shiloh. Maybe the truth is he went undercover. Maybe really it's just the person really is alive, and the government is embarrassed to explain why he's missing in action. He disappeared. Maybe he's a prisoner of war. He disappeared, and the government is just covering up what really happened. Can you really trust the government? I'm sure there are a lot of movies like this, right? Where we make believe the person was thought to be dead, and really he went undercover. He went undercover. He faked his own death.
There are cases like that in the Trade Center, where the guy was not in the building they thought he was.
Yeah.
And he was off and he ran off.
He ran off. He, on purpose? He took advantage?
Yes.
Wow.
Situation. You can start
a new life and start collecting... That's an amazing thing.
Soldiers, like Israeli soldiers, go out and they're married. Do they put a conditional?
No, today.
Yeah.
No.
Only Malchus Beis Dovid.
No, today you never heard of such a thing. Today, no such thing like that today. But this is, it can be a very real problem. So if the government comes back to the almana and says, "Listen, your husband died. We don't have a body, but he died. Trust us." So what is the halacha? Is she allowed to remarry? Can we really trust the government? They can make up evidence. The government, there's nothing they can't do. They can make up anything that they want. So he writes over here exactly this type of story. She had actual records that her husband died in a certain hospital. The Kosav Shitsorichin, the Beis Ephraim, he writes, it's a Tsorichin, Benidon Didon, Imlaham, Mitamar Kos, the Bimilso, the Shichi Bey, Avidi, Lachzuke, Shikrayu. This is the Daf Gemara. The Gemara says that a guy, something which is the Shichi Ba, things which are to their benefit, they are suspect of lying. If they have their own agenda, they are suspect of lying. So it's you can't really trust them. Uman Lemelon, who's to tell us the truth? Maybe they have their own agenda. There's a reason why they want to make believe the person has died. They're embarrassed. Maybe the person went undercover for them. Maybe there's some other reason. In their haste to run away, when they become embarrassed, they're ashamed that they were defeated and they had to flee the scene of the battle. Many run, like he explains, a very great embarrassment. In order to conceal their shame, aleihem avide lechzuke shikrayu shemei suchayot sebezeh. Cover up. There's always a cover up. The she'ein lahalos al haksav. We cannot rely upon what it says in the official document. Umi yodea darkehem v'nimusehem be'is mulchama. No one really knows what goes on during battle. Ulechein deyfa kolmakam sheyesh lutla sheyesh lachem kavona be'ida zo tolin. Then we are in limbo. We really do not know what to do. So the bottom line over here is, we have over here really two different types of scenarios. We have over here a scenario of war. The only case that the Beis Ephraim is really discussing is a case where there's a real agenda, and that is war. When there is a war, you don't really know what happens in war, and then there is a real possibility that the government is covering up a person's death. They don't really know that he died for sure. Maybe he was taken captive, he was taken as a prisoner of war, maybe he's in a hospital, he's not in a frame of mind to know exactly what happened to him, and it's not so simple. But on the other hand, he presents a whole long list from the Seder Li'arabo, from the Ramatz, from the Dvar Avram, that if you have a situation where a person's stum, it's not a matter of war, it's just that they have records, there are death records, there are death certificates. A person lived in another country and there was a separation between men and women, whatever the situation is, and you have records and the person seemed to die, and there's really no reason why the government would want to cover a person's death, then it seems there are many places that say that you can rely upon the court documents, upon the legal documents. And this, and it says in the Gemara, we do not trust the court. It's only in the situation where it's not an official document, only where the officer is making a statement with stifitumo and with is trying to scare someone, and it's not in an official capacity, only then we do not believe what the government says. But in many situations we do believe what they say, but yet we do find from the Beis Avram that in times of war things are not so simple. Okay, let's go to the next. If she were to remarry and then her husband arrives, then the children that she has from the second marriage are mamzerim. So it's a disaster. Next, when it comes to paying taxes. Okay, so this is really, really scary stuff. Okay?
Din hu.
If you cheat on your taxes, you go to jail. Dina de malchus sedina. Shekol b'nei hamalchus amakabel malem miritzaynim chayki hamelch mishpatav hechadifar din gomeru. Dina de malchus sedina is as real as it gets. Uveshulchan aruch kasav amakabel moiches tax. Shepaskul hamelch litol davar katzav. Vehemid moiches Yisrael ligvoisa lemelach, and they appointed Jewish tax collector. Are you allowed to give a tax collector a kibud as being a witness under a chuppah? Now remember, disclaimer, we're dealing over here in the time of the Gemara, we're not dealing here in the 21st century. You chew on your taxes today, you're a ganav. There's nothing to talk about. There's no ands or buts. Yeah, that's all right. So there's a disclaimer. We're not discussing here the Bizman Hazet in America. There's nothing to talk about. Dina al Chusadina and cheating on taxes is usser. We're dealing over here in a very unique situation, time of Chazal. Time of Chazal, the way taxes work was the government says, I'm not going to go, you are the tax collector, and you go collect tax for me and give, and you collect tax for me. So the tax collector has the ability, if he really wants, to demand from the citizens more than what he is entitled to ask. He can ask, he's only allowed to collect from them $1,000, he can ask from them $2,000, and he might just be able to get away with it. So you now want to give this person as a kibud, as being a witness, by witness, do we have to suspect that the average tax collector is a ganaf, or a gazlan? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. You don't have to suspect that a tax collector is a ganav, even though many of them were. They would take more money than they were entitled to, which means that they were ganavim. You don't have to suspect that, and you can assume that he's a kosher Jew, and you can give him...
But now here it says we know that he's a kosher Jew. Because...
Eine becheskas gazlam, yishum bedina malchus adina.
He knows
on his person. Veloyoid ella, not only that, shemavrich mi mechazeh, if a person in society tries to wiggle out of paying the tax, oiver al loy sigzol mishum shu goizel minas hamelech, anyone that does not pay tax is a gazlan. Bein shoye melech Yisrael, bein shoye melech oiveid koichav mahainu, shayoyis v'akarka shayeches lemelech, since the land is owned by the king, v'hamisim heim dmei hishtamshus b'karka, taxes gives you a right to use the land, al kein im eina mishalim choshev ki gazlan. Ach, that is what the Mechaber says. So the Mechaber says, pay your taxes, and if you don't pay your taxes, you're a ganav, and the people that collect the taxes are doing their job, and they're legitimate, and they're good people. Ach, b'ramo uv'bir hagro mavur sheyesh b'zeh das noisefes. She'ein hageder b'zeh k'gzeh le'elo she'midim l'chus adina yesh l'melech z'chus ligvoiz tashlo m'bnei abdina v'in eina m'shalmim ha'rei zeh k'odom she'hil v'kesef m'goy, as if you borrowed money from a goy, she'adin hu she'in eina yodea mutur v'zelosh narmosh im t'sham torus oyved koychav im v'goyin lehat oysoy b'cheshbon oy lehavkia halva oso mutor uvat shelo yeda lo t'leka chil Hashem. Again, disclaimer, this is not nogeya b'zman hazeh ki hu zeh. But the Iker HaAdin is telling us over here a tremendous chishon back in ancient times that this thing called torus akum. The Paiskim say today we don't work with that anymore. Torus akum b'zman hazeh, you have to give back the money. Everything is computerized. Everything has to be 100%. But at the time of Chazal, there was such a thing of Tosakum. Tosakum, you're not mechuyev to return the money, the extra money. So the Ramah is seemingly saying in an incredible chiddush that in ancient times, when it came to taxes, the right that the government has to demand from you money, if you don't pay the money, it's not begeder gezel. It's at worst begeder a loan. I owe the government money, and if I don't, and that money that I owe is a loan, and technically if the guy forgets to collect the loan, I'm not mechuyev according to halacha to pay back the loan. Incredible different way of looking at taxes. The Mechaber says in ancient times, if you don't pay taxes, you're a ganav. It's not your land. It's not your property. You want to use the property, you have to pay for the property. If you use the property without paying the taxes, you are a gazlan. Simple. Gezel Akum is usur. No exceptions. The Ramah says that's not the way it works. The land is not the Goyim. The land belongs to you. You have to pay a tax. In other words, since you live in this country, there's an obligation for you. You owe the king a certain amount of money. This obligation, according to the Ramah in ancient times, is viewed as a loan. Nothing more than a loan. If you fail to pay the loan, so that is in the category of what we call tohus akum. And tohus akum is not a violation of gezel. This is how the Ramah says.
How is it equal to the loan? What's the loan?
It's your land. It's your land. It's your property. If you use your property, are you doing anything wrong? Are you doing anything wrong when you use your property? You live in your house. You own the house. You live in the house. Are you allowed to use the house? It's yours. However, because I live in this country and there are services that are provided for the people in this country, I have an obligation to pay a certain amount of money because I live in this house. That obligation is viewed, I have a duty to pay someone money. But that duty to pay is not my entitlement to live in my property. If I only am entitled to live in this property if I pay the money, then we can view the money, then it's gezel. I don't own my home unless I pay the tax. I pay the tax, now I've acquired my property. If I don't pay the tax, it's not my property. I'm living, I'm a squatter. I'm a squatter, it's not my property. Paying the tax entitles me to live in my property. If I don't pay the tax, it's not my property. I'm a squatter, I'm a gazlan. The Ramah has a different way of looking at it. The Ramah says, it's your property. No one can take away your property. You live in a country, the Zindav al-Khusadina, you have obligations. If you don't fulfill your obligations, you're not a ganof. It's just you have not fulfilled your obligations. It's just like you borrow money. If I borrow money and I don't pay you back the money, so does that mean that every single moment that I don't pay back the money, I'm a ganof? I owe you the money. Eventually you'll get your money. But in the meantime, I don't have what to pay you. It's a different, it's a entirely different structure. When it comes to a certain point in time, every time there's a loan, the understanding is you borrow money, let's say a standard is 30 days. After 30 days have passed, are you a ganof? No, not necessarily. You're late on payment. If you are delinquent in payment for 6 months, maybe now you're turned into a ganof. Maybe now it's already you come to a point where you've crossed the line. Every loan is structured. There's a time when you don't have to pay back. Then
you're supposed to pay the tax. The government is lending you.
Right. We view it as a loan. L'may nafkamina, do we view your obligation? What?
The debt doesn't go away. You still owe the government the money.
But what is the nafkamina? Who is the debt between you and a non-Jew? If the government will conveniently forget that you owe them the money, that's the category called tohus akum. And you're not mechuyev to volunteer to pay this money.
Unless you want to make.
You're not mechuyev. I told you, we're not discussing 24 to Bizman Hazer. Okay, 100 times. This is a disclaimer. What? He's writing in Poland. Probably in Poland. Writing in Rome. We're dealing with different type of government.
16th century.
Right.
Okay, we're dealing with a whole different world.
The Jews didn't own land, did they?
Well, they did. Sure, depends where. Today, it's an entirely different world because for many, many different reasons. We're not going into modern times. The chil Hashem of people going to jail is just off the charts. Bizman hazeh. So I mean, you don't need to. Rav Palm was very machped on Torah Sakam. He was very, very machped. If you find money, any money that comes into your hands that's not yours must be returned, even if you have a situation where you claim they'll never, ever know about it. And in fact, you have to cut through red tape in order to give them back the money. You call some people, you know, you made a mistake. I really, you gave me a refund and there's no refund. And you're talking to a person who's being paid minimum wage, doesn't even know what you're talking about, and just says to you, listen, the computer says it's yours, don't make me crazy. Just keep it and don't bother me. I don't know what I want to hear from you. Like I once had a package came, I never got the package. I ordered a toner, and the toner never came. So after 2 weeks, I called them up and they told me that according to their records, UPS claims they delivered it. Says, I don't know what you're talking about. I never got it. All right, we'll send another one. We'll send another toner. Says, send another toner. It comes the next day. And then, like 3 months later, I open up the backyard. And there it is. Obviously, no one was home. And the UPS went all the way around. They put it in some really strange place. I don't know why in the world they think I would find it there. But in the, and it's all you can see weathered. It went through a snowstorm and went through this and went through that. But I opened it up and it's in perfect condition. So I call them up. And I say, you know, this whole store, the guy thinks I'm crazy. And this was 3 months ago, 6 months ago. There's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing in the computer. It's already done. It's closed. It is what it is. What?
They delivered something to me twice.
Yeah.
They only ordered one.
Yeah.
Called them up. It's not on our record.
Just keep it. Just keep it.
I had it over the counter.
I had also another thing with Godiva. Someone once delivered to the wrong address. They delivered like a real fancy package of chocolates, Godiva chocolates. And I, how did we get here? So I called. This is where I work. Where I worked with a certain business. I worked, and it was addressed to me. So I called them. What is going on over here? So they said, I don't know, they figured it must be some kind of computer error that it was sent to us. So they said, just keep it. Just keep it already. Just enjoy it. And then a week later, I said, are we going to correct it? It was a mistake, and it was really meant to go to someone else. So don't worry, we'll take care of it. We're going to send the package to the person it was meant to go to. A week later, I got another package. Wow. True story. Another package.
So
same thing. So if you do your hishtadlus and you call them up and you say, listen, there's something going on over here, and they laugh you out and they say, listen, it's a mistake. Okay, on the other hand, I did some to Philly work, and I logged into my account to see how much commission I made, and it said basically I made $3 million commission. I'm not joking.
Wow.
$3 million commission. So I didn't even bother to call them up because I knew that with beyond a shadow of a doubt they will realize there's a mistake, and sure enough, within a few hours, it disappeared. It was corrected. Okay.
Drones delivering stuff. What's going to happen with this
craziness?
They'll probably do a better job, the drones, than people. Humans make mistakes. Machines don't make mistakes. Look, do you see the video of how the Amazon fulfillment center? It's run by robots. You have to go online. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling how this thing works.
They said Amazon made 1 billion deliveries last year.
It's just mind-boggling. And these fulfillment centers, they're as big as cities.
Yeah.
There are robots running all over the place. And they know how not to collide with each other. They bought the technology for $750 million. They bought the technology for the robot. There was a company that makes robots. They bought the whole company for themselves. $750 million of technology to run robots, to run the fulfillment center. Every time you order a package, it's run by robots. So sometimes, obviously, you cannot, there's no one to talk to. But here he's saying, let's say there is someone to talk to. Let's say there's someone you can communicate with. Are you mechuyif to make that phone call and tell them, you made a mistake. You made a mistake, and I want to correct the mistake. Bizman hazeh, the answer is absolutely yes, you're mechuyif to do so. Don't make any of that. But me'ikar hadin, going back to a different time, a different generation, different era, you're not mechuyif to do so. If a non-Jew makes a mistake, and there's no way in the world he will ever realize that he made this mistake, so there's no chil Hashem, it's an honest mistake. Now, you may want to make a kiddush Hashem, but in ancient times, in these societies, in the Ramah, it's clear, this is Shulchan Aruch, don't be embarrassed about halacha. The halacha is tosakim, according to one opinion, is mutter. You're not obligated to make the phone call and to tell them that you made a mistake and they want to return the money. Therefore, this has a very big nafkamina with regard to taxes in ancient times. How do you view the legal structure of paying taxes? If you view the legal structure of paying taxes as it's not yours property to live on unless you pay the tax, if you don't pay the tax, it's not tolosakum, it's gezelakum. But if you view the structure, the tax structure, talk to a lawyer, a tax lawyer, how they view tax. If you view tax not to be, until I pay the tax, I'm not entitled to use this property, no. It's your property. You know, the government allows you to own the property. It's just that you have a duty to pay a certain tax to the government for whatever reason. If we view that as a loan, as a duty, it's called a loan. If it's called a loan, then the rules change. Then the rule is, if the government does not have on record that you owe them the money, it can turn into a situation of tolus akum, and you're not mechuyev to report to the government that there is a mistake. Okay, so this is the yisod, the basic yisod. Now, next paragraph, umi achar. So therefore, Ella Shaladea Shnia Mutulahala Mas Boyfin Shayna Tsok Lashakavalo Yivoda Mikakalugai. That's what he explained. That comes up here at the very beginning of Gemina. Okay, let's go very quickly. We are Ella Bigmorba Bastra, Amru Osulahatl Masal Talmud Chacham. Okay, there he goes on from the tangent. You now let him impose taxes on Talmud Chacham, Moiskam Torvach, and this is Shachamar, Shoshut Maharias, in Iznil, Kosav. Call me Shayeshloy a Nayam Liros for Level Hovin with the Pesky Mishra Hornim Yir of Yavin Shadas Kulam Shavad Lord Shaykh Dina the Malhusa Dina Ella Bidivai Khoik Umishbat Khokuk Mes Hamelach Mufurish Barbali Shum Safik Vashikladas. Aval, Bidvamatluyim Bishikladas, Dina the Malhusa Dina does not depend on something which is not written in law. Some things are written in law, and there is something which they make up as they go along. Things which the government decides to do just on the spot.
On precedents
or things which, but it's not written, it's not part of the law. It's something which requires shikul hadas. Any Jew which has a little brain in his head, bekotko, loimar alem din demalchus sadina. Aval heim arkol shel nachrim sheizhira oisa haTorah kadosh shelod b'fneim afilu b'dvarim shedinim shavel l'dinei Yisrael. So he's saying over here is something which is on the books. Then we apply the rule of dina de malchusa dina, something which is subject to a decision from a judge. It's not clear cut. There's something which we have. The law does not tell us exactly what to do. We need to go to a court. It needs to be cited by a judge. It needs to be cited by a jury. Here, there's no such thing as dina de malchusa dina, and in these matters, a person should only go to a Jewish court, not to a secular court, or at least get permission from a Jewish court to go to a secular court. We are obligated to be good citizens of our host country. We do not violate halacha. Which are called, I do not know what that word over there, word is. You know what that word over there is? Gam etzleim einem nechshav l'dina malchus adina ve'ein lochavi v'ayin. Sentences, okay? Sentences, gam etzleim einem nechshav l'dina malchus adina ve'ein lochavi to something. Ve'ein lochavi v'ayin mi psak din echad shalachem al kiyotze bo ve'afilu sholchem imokam mishpat hayotze gavoy kiyodua midimusim mishpatayem ve'oid onu roi ma'is mechol yom shemavatlim piskei dinim shal hashevtim imi shema'alhem. Appeal, go to a court of appeals, will overturn the decision of a lower court. Ve'gam mishtan and sometimes there are contradictions. One court in the exact same situation decides one way, and another court decides the opposite. And there's nothing, no one can go and say anything about it. No one can argue anything. Minister. the dummy, I don't know what that word stands for, in Kane, biblical dina atarah kadosha, ve'eveinu palilim, if we're going to go to secular courts and the laws of the Torah will become bottle, our enemies will have succeeded.
Ve'eveinu palilim,
yishtaka adam lo yomar, v'chavi shakein muvah barashu, v'shuvah, v'oid v'shun, v'odayim v'shun, v'shun, v'shun. So the bottom line over here is, he's just putting on a new yisod. The new yisod over here is, we have this thing called dina de malchusa dina. Dina malchusa dina is good as gold. You have to follow the laws of the government when it comes to dini mimonos. But the point he's making here is that's only with regard to things which are etched in stone. When it's clear as day, the law is clear, it tells you exactly what to do in this situation, how much money you have to pay, how much tax, so on and so forth. But if you have a situation where it's not clear and you need a judgment, then we do not apply dina malchusa dina. And if this situation can be judged in a Jewish court, you are mechuyev to go to the Jewish court. If you're going to go to the secular court, that is a chilul Hashem. Okay, we'll live with that. For what kind of question?
Tax.
No, not tax. He's not discussing tax. He's discussing dispute resolution. If there's a disagreement to parties, if it's a tax, that's clear cut. A tax says that tax is how much you have to pay tax. That's not overall.